What do you do when you feel discouraged?
What do you do when you feel overwhelmed with grief?
What do you do when you feel like you're in such pain and agony and suffering? Today we're going to look at Psalm 42 and see what the psalmist does when he laments. I think many people in my circles anyway, if I feel down or sad or really overwhelmed with grief over something, they say, oh, it'll be all right, cheer up, it'll be okay. And I say, no, it won't. And it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to be sad or angry or whatever it is, because God gave us emotions. He made us human beings with feelings, and he knows how we are made. He made us like this, and it's okay to feel what we feel and acknowledge that we're grieving, acknowledge that we're mourning, acknowledge that we're in agony or suffering or pain. But at the same time, we want to acknowledge the feelings. We want to turn to God in that place too. He knows how we're feeling, so we can cry out to him. We can pour out our souls to him and say, God, I'm in such agony right now, but I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you. I hold on to your promises. But we can only do that when we are in intimate relationship with God. And that's what we see that the psalmist has. All the psalmists just lean into God. They know him well. They desire him personally. And that's how this Psalm 42 starts. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, a thirsty deer, maybe it's been running from predators, it's dying of thirst, so my soul pants for you, God. Do you have that much desire for God? Does your soul pant for God with so much desire that you die without it? I'm sure you've been desperately thirsty and you just need that drink of water. Our soul ought to thirst for God continually, always. My soul thirsts for the living God. When can I meet with God, it says. This psalmist is desiring to meet with God. In those days, they went to the temple to meet with God. Of course, they knew that they could meet God anywhere. But they longed to worship in the temple, these sons of Korah who sang in the temple in those days. God seems so far from them, as does worship, because they're in such suffering. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. I have been crying continually. Without a break, I'm so overwhelmed. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? They weren't atheists. They knew there was a God, but they're saying to him, where is your God? Has he left you? Has he deserted you? Why don't you cry harder? Why don't you offer more sacrifices? Where is your God? He's not hearing you. Reminds me of Job. Remember, Job sat in his suffering after all his children had been killed, all his cattle taken, and he sat in sackcloth and ashes, grieving the loss of his health as well. Why, God, have you turned upon me? And all his friends said, hey, you've got to repent. God is punishing you. And Job is declaring his innocence. He goes, no, I'm mourning. This is not something I need to repent of. This is suffering. There's a difference between sin and repentance and lament, just grieving and mourning for things that we aren't particularly responsible for. These are the things that the psalmist remembers. As I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He remembers how he worshipped. Even though his tears are his food day and night, he's continually in tears, he remembers worshipping God. He remembers how he went with joy and shouts of praise to the festival. So then he asks himself, he talks to himself, why, my soul, are you so downcast?
Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. He knows God will come through again, just like he has in the past. And he knows he will get through this time of suffering and trial and praise the Lord again. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. My soul is downcast, so I will remember God. Deep calls to deep. That's even deeper than the deep. It's the abyss. Imagine a deep, dark hole, very narrow. The abyss. And in the abyss, the waterfalls just pour out over his head. They just keep coming. These troubles just keep being poured out upon him. Grief upon grief. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. I am overwhelmed with trouble. He turns again. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. So when he's in this abyss, when there is no one else to turn to, and the troubles just keep overwhelming him, he turns to God in prayer. He remembers his God. He remembers his love. He remembers his song, and he prays to the God of his life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? God is his rock. Is he your rock? Jesus Christ is our rock. He's the one we can stand on with a firm foundation. He's the rock to build our life on. Our God is our rock. So why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? He asks again. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. I don't know about you, but I think this is somewhat how I grieve as well. Sometimes it takes God to bring us to our deepest depths of despair, to really turn to him and really know him that intimately, that he's all that we have to count on, that all that we have to hope in, all we have to rejoice in that moment, because God is always good, even if we can't see any goodness that he's bringing upon us at that time. So I don't know how you grieve or how you mourn or how you deal with troubles. But today I want us to be encouraged to turn to God, to lament, to grieve with God. And when we do, we turn to God and we give him those heavy burdens that we're bearing. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And you know, in Jerusalem, the Jews still to this day go to the Western Wall, which is sometimes called the Wailing Wall, and they will write down a prayer and stick it in a crack in the wall and leave it there with God. They take their burdens to God and they give them to him. And they rejoice in God even if those burdens aren't relieved straight away. And so today, what I want us to do is just in a few minutes, I'll lead you to go to either that side or that side. There's some sticky notes and some pencils. And you could probably write what is troubling you at this time. Are you grieved over something? If you're not, just look at the newspaper or the, you know, think about what's on the news. Just human trafficking, you know, child abuse, anything that you lament over in your heart, and turn to God in the midst of what you're feeling in that, and be drawn closer to God in intimate relationship, because that's what it's all about. It's just about desiring God, desiring more of God, that close, intimate relationship with God. So in leading into that, I'd like a little prayer up. I think there's a next slide. Thanks, Don. So I now encourage you to pour out your heart to God, to lament your sadness and sorrows, your frustrations and regrets, your agony, anger, exasperation, despair, grief and pain, confident in Christ's constant love, acceptance, sympathy and healing power, and God's deep and endless compassion, comfort and consolation. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pour out my heart to you now, trusting in your constant compassion and kindness in particular. I unburden myself of these griefs and distress before you and before to you. Amen. So we're just going to take a few minutes. I'm going to put on a song in a minute, but I encourage you, if you want to get up and do that exercise, feel free. No obligation if you don't want to, but put the music on now.